I do make one other comment. We have one book left, Good to Great. If you'd like to purchase the book, it's $10. And an excellent book of what we're going to be studying for the next number of weeks of Good to Great. Thinking great thoughts. We started last week to define what greatness was and how that God wants you to be great. It's His desire that you want to be great. And in looking at a number of people who we would consider as spiritual giants, as great people, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were a high academic, but they did something great for God. There were a number of principles that they applied into their lives. The first one was that they had great thoughts. And good to great in God's eyes. Nothing limits achievement like small thinking, and nothing expands possibilities like unleashed thinking. By William Arthur Ward. Nothing limits achievements like small thinking. Nothing expands possibilities like unleashed thinking. Picked up the paper yesterday. I want you to tell me what you begin to feel like when I read just some of the things that were in yesterday's paper. First page. Papal visit carries on despite possible threats in London, England. Anti-terrorism police on high alert during a visit by the Pope. Second paragraph. Police move quickly to make a pre-dawn arrest of five men who worked as street cleaners in the area in central London near the Parliament where the pontiff later spoke. Page two. Rebuilding Nunavik. It says there's a methane gas emissions causing global warming. Unstable buildings, still supporting buildings, can sink or rise when the land thaws and unthaws. Melting roads. Trucks can haul supplies that are too large for aircraft up to the northern communities by ice roads. When climate changes, the length of the life of these roads decreases from 2 months to 1 month. I know all about that. Flooding and coastal erosion. Rising sea levels put coastal villages at risk of flooding. Page three. Man gets 10 months for kid porn. Andrew Whiteside, deviant sexual addiction, has landed him in jail. Whiteside was sentenced to 10 months Friday for distributing child pornography collections that Ontario Court Justice John Sharansky said was at the top rung of the ladder of depravity. Whiteside had a collection of 52 videos and 252 images of children pornography along with adult pornography. A couple more pages over. Page six. Doc sex charge stayed for a year. Chatham, a charge of sexual assaults has been stayed against a local doctor due to the state of his mental health. In brackets, this charge against Dr. Robert Tini Kumar, 34, stemmed from an alleged incident June 10th. Protesters, page 11, protesters line route yelling Antichrist at Pontiff. And I could go on and on and on. Citing and citing different things that have happened in the paper. The second section of yesterday's paper. World News. MP cancels gun registry announcement. Montreal vulnerable to attack. Montreal faces a potential terrorist threat that has an especially vulnerable metro system. Canadian at odds with the polls. Conservatives stand firm to plan to cut stimulus money. Quebec Premier to land in hot seat next week. Couples start your engines. 3, 2, 1, fight. Canadians hitting the road this weekend should know that in the car arguments begin about 22 minutes into a trip. Well, therefore, make sure your trip shorter than 22 minutes. On and on and on. Let me ask you, just hearing those, and I purposely picked out the bad news. What were your feelings What were you sensing when I started to tell you about the bad news of yesterday in the paper? You had negative emotions. Anybody else? What did you feel when I was just citing to you bad news? Feel like the world's falling apart. Someone else? Hopelessness. Helplessness? Melissa, you had your hand up. What did it make you feel like? Yeah, like we don't want to hear any more of it. Betty? Revelation starting to be unfold that the earth is in the last throes of childbirth and Christ is coming back. Praise God for that. He says there are going to be wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines and all kinds of pestilence. Bad news. Bad news. Jack Hawkins was a professor at the University of Tennessee, and for 12 years, he did this study on the effects of the media and how it adversely affects our thinking. He had a control group of people, and for 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, that's barely the newscast at 8 o'clock in the morning, 5 minutes a day, they received bad news. School bus crashes. Terrorism takes place. Rape is rampant. They had this news 5 minutes a day, and he did the study on their thinking. And this were the results of his thinking. After the study, it showed that there was more depressed. It showed that the people believed that the world was a negative place. Number three, it showed that they were less likely to help others. And number four, they began to believe that what they heard would soon happen to them. On the flip side of that, he had a control group where he fed them good news. And he wanted to see what the good news would have, the effect would have on their minds. And he found out that they were more positive. That they were willing to help out each other. That they were optimistic. And you just proved the point. Within 4 or 5 minutes of reading headlines, you were feeling helpless and hopeless. And what a place to live. But if I were to stand up here and read to you what Christ has done, how that Jesus has saved us, and this is why I really love testimonies, because it uplifts Jesus. If I were to tell you, this is what Christ has done, and Belmont's a good place to live, and you can buy a house in St. Thomas for 25% less than you can buy in London. I don't know if that's referring to the money or the size. But you feel happy about it, and you feel optimistic because the media has affected your thinking. Most of you are aware that Mary does not like motorcycles. And she acquiesced to the fact that I go and ride the motorcycle. She's absolutely terrified. But you know what I really, really hate? Just when I get her thinking that maybe a motorcycle is safe, she hears on the news that there's another motorcycle accident. Or someone will say, "Do you know how fast I was going on my motorcycle?" I'm trying to instill in her that it's somewhat safe, and she has maybe some legitimate fears. She acquiesced and she allows me to ride on the motorcycle, but she's praying fervently that I return safely in one piece. That's why Mary's ideal motorcycle is a 2010 Mustang convertible, red. So, if you'd like to meet Mary's dream of her motorcycle, you can buy us a Mustang car, Ford, not a horse. You've all heard this statement, you are what you eat, is true not only physically, but also psychologically and spiritually. The thought we entertain in our minds becomes the thought that guides our lives for better or for worse. If this had a negative effect just 5 minutes a day, can you imagine what our minds are thinking and processing when we pump and when we dump all kinds of sewage into our minds and into our hearts 6 and 7 and 8 hours a day, how it affects our thinking. I'm not on an anti-television crusade right now, but if the Holy Spirit lays it upon your heart to turn off the television, then bless God. We read a book when we first got married that says the best thing you can do for your marriage is not have a TV for the first year. So Mary and I didn't, until somebody felt sorry for us that we were depriving ourselves of having a TV, so they gave us a black and white TV. I used to like to watch Hockey Night in Canada. The problem with this little black and white TV, it had this hum. As soon as it started to warm up, it was an old tube one. And it didn't matter whether you turn it up or turn it down, just and then the picture would shrink and shrink and shrink, and then all of a sudden, it would flip. And you had the bottom at the top and the top at the bottom. Do you know how disconcerting that is when you're watching a hockey game and the puck's going this way and everybody's skating this way? I really stopped watching hockey at that moment. And you know what? I didn't miss the TV. I used to watch it. We'd go into people's homes and I'd watch the TV. But you know what? For 16 years, we didn't have a TV. And I believe that that's some of the effects of why our girls have been raised in such a way. Of the positive thinking, not feeding the media. Proverbs 23:7. Can anybody say that? If you learned it in the King James Bible, you could quote it. As a man thinketh. What is it? As a man thinketh. So is he. I think we have it right up here. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, our thoughts determine what we do. Let me say that again. Our thoughts determine what we do. It's sort of like a train. You have the engine. The engine is our thought. And the second car, or the first car, it pulls along our emotions. And then the second car, it pulls along our behavior. And the third car is our consequences, the consequences of that. So we have a thought that governs an action or an emotion, that governs a behavior, that governs the consequences. You know what? People who advertise are really good at this. Because what do? They feed your thought life. You need this toothpaste. This toothpaste will help you have pretty women and a nice car. So what do? Ford advertises that you can buy at the family rate or the employee discount. So now you're thinking, oh, I need a new car. I need, not to get my teeth fixed, I need a new car. And so you go out and you buy maybe a car that looks really, really nice, but you really can't afford it. And 3 months into the payment, you're going, why did I ever buy that? I can't afford it. Oh yeah, I got a good smile. You see that? The thought was pulled along our emotions. Our emotions pulled along our behavior, and then our behavior pulled along our consequences. It's kind of like this. We've got wrong thinking leads to negative emotions. Negative emotions leads to unwise behavior, and unwise behavior leads to devastating consequences. Would anybody be willing to testify, and you don't have to go into all detail, but you've gone through this process of wrong thinking led to negative emotions, unwise behavior, and devastating consequences. Is there anybody who would like to respond to that, saying, you know, this is what happened, this is how my thought life carried on? I know I put you on a spot. The classic Bible illustration is this. In 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 to 26, it starts out, when the kings were to go out to war, David decided to go home, stay home. He's up there on his roof while the rest of his army are out there fighting and trying to take territory. David is up strolling on his roof. And he sees something that he should have run from. There was a beautiful lady bathing on the roof. He inquires who she was, and she was, the guy said, she is Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. You know, your best friend Uriah? It's his wife. That thought, instead of turning away from it, thinking, there is no way that I should be taking Bathsheba because it belongs to somebody else. His thought was, wow. His thought was, that's a 12, not a 10. She's a 12. That thought was, his unwise thinking led him to act in such a way. He goes and finds out about her. He invites her to the palace. Well, nobody in their right mind refused the king. Bathsheba shows up. You know the rest of the story. He has sex with her. She gets pregnant. Now he's in a bit of a dilemma. She comes back to him and goes, guess what, King David? You're going to be a papa. You're going to be a daddy. What does David do? Calls Uriah in and says, hey, buddy, you've been out fighting in the fields. Why don't you go home and have a good time with your wife? It's been like 4 or 5 months. Go have a good time. Uriah goes, can't do it. He goes and sleeps outside the temple, the gates of the city. His reasoning was, I'm fighting in the fields, and the Ark of the Covenant is not in a secure place. Why would I be any different than what my men are doing out in the field? So he refused to go into his wife. Didn't work. David has to think of a bit more of a deviant plan. So what does he do? He gets Uriah drunk. Says, go back. Have a good time with your wife. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be married. Does Uriah do it? No. What was the final outcome? Anybody know the final outcome? Sends him into battle with a note from Joab, the commander. Put him right in the front line where the archers are shooting against the wall, and then blow the horn and let Uriah stand there, and everybody read back, and everybody takes a pot shot at Uriah. The message comes back, Uriah is dead. And David says, oh well, some die, some live. His thought generated his action. His action generated a behavior, and his behavior circled down to a devastating consequence. Flip side of the coin is this. We have right thinking, leads to positive emotions, leads to wise behavior, leads to fruitful consequences. Maybe somebody would be willing to share this one. Does anybody can say, this is where I thought right? My thoughts led me to this action. My actions are filled my emotions. My emotions did something for me when I had fruitful consequences. This one you may want to share. Maybe you don't want to hang out your dirty laundry. I can understand that. Anybody say, you know what? The process that I went through, I thought right. I had positive emotions. And it led me to have fruitful consequences. Brad.
When I wasn't saved, I saw a sign out of the church that said men's breakfast. I went to men's breakfast. And I went to the church.
So from a positive thought led to a positive emotion, right down. Anybody else want to share with something positive? Eva.
Thank you.
The classic story in the Bible is Mary. And you find the story in Luke chapter 2, verse 28. Real quickly, angel appears and says, guess what, Mary? You're going to have a baby. And he's going to be the Messiah. What's her first response? How can this way be? I've kept myself pure. And then the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to conceive and you're going to give birth to a baby. And then what? Then what's her response? She's got the thought, oh, I'm going to have a baby. Then what's, and it's going to be the Messiah. What's her next thought? What did it, it took to an emotion. She said to the angel, so be it. I will be willing to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. Following that through, her behavior. She tells Joseph. She doesn't abort the baby. She carries the baby to full term. Has the Messiah, even though he was born in a barn. What were the fruitful consequences of that? I can tell you right now, we're saved. Because Jesus came, we're saved. So you see, our thoughts need to be in right proportion. Here is an exercise that you could do. Take the book of Philippians, because Paul wrote to the Philippians and says, now this is what you need to do. You need to think on these things. He says, through the book, and you circle it. And write, this is what I need to think about. The Philippians were to think about themselves as citizens of heaven. They were to be joyful. They were to have a mind of humility and not complaining. They were to have an attitude, a good attitude, and not be intimidated. But in one of the verses in Philippians 4, and you take that, and I wrote through in my Bible, and I found probably maybe 20 verses that says, this is what you need to think about. Now, it doesn't come right out and say, think on this. You have to use your imagination a little bit. When it says, be joyful, that's a thought process. Joy starts in your head. So we have this process. But in Philippians 4 and 8, if you all turn to your Bibles, in Philippians 4 and 8, we're going to read it. Who has the King James Version? Anybody have, Dad, do you have the King James? I'm going to get you to read Philippians 4 and 8. Who else has a different version? Rianne, you have the New Living Translation. Okay, you got NIV. I've got the New Living Translation. Okay, let's see what God says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2. I mean, Philippians 4, verse 8. Dad, if you want to start to read, please. Okay. Betty, you have the NIV, correct?
Yes.
Can you read it? The New Internet, or the New Living Translation says this. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In the, I think it's the Revised Standard. It states it this way. Think on things that are true. You need to fill your mind with things that are objectively true. Now, we showed the movie on Friday night. It was rather a humorous movie. It really wasn't true. In all of that time, and you thought that those little green guys were absolutely true. A funny movie, and we enjoyed watching it and laughed at it and made some comments about it, but it really wasn't true. But he says, think on things that are objectively true, they that conform to reality. Don't fill your minds, well, ooh, space cadets. Yeah, I know, you think that's where I'm at sometime. That's okay. But some people are so enthralled with the UFOs and the extraterrestrial beings, that's all they can think about. I don't think they're true. But there are things that you can objectively and empirically prove that are true. Think on these things. You can ask, is this true? Sometimes the media distort the truth. Sometimes, okay, a few more than sometimes. And sometimes you need to dig a little deeper to find out what the true story is, and then meditate on that and think on what is true. Secondly, honorable. Honorable means grave or worthy of respect. Let your thoughts be filled with this question. Does this honor God and reflect His purpose in my life? I can say that pornography is not honorable. I can state that child pornography is a deviant, and it's abhorred by most of society and most of ungodly character. But if a young man or a young lady fills his mind with that kind of stuff, he's going to act it out. It's not honorable at all. It doesn't reflect the purposes for me. We need to think about what is right, which means righteous and justice. Is this right or wrong? You know what? We're really in a difficult situation. How many remember what the word sick used to mean? Sick. Green face, bad headache, upset stomach, and losing the cookies. What does sick mean today? If you go, oh, that's sick. You're going like, that's cool. That's good. That's right on. And so we have this difficulty of trying to determine what's right and wrong. I praise God that there is a standard. I praise God that God shows us from His Word what's right and wrong. And He shows us that He is the rock that doesn't roll. And He is the fortress on which we can build. And so we begin to understand the purposes of God and say, this is good. Oh, that's a wonderful clock. It stopped at 10 to 12. I still got 10 minutes to fire here. But determine what's right and wrong and think on what is right. What is good? What is true? What is pure? Pure means this. It's the same root as holy. Pure from defilement, immorality. It means internal integrity. Am I thinking on things that are pure and holy? A good question to ask us. Lovely means attractive or winsome or beautiful. Is my mind filled with beauty? I like this one when it regards to Mary. Oh, I like to think about Mary. Because she's beautiful and she's attractive. I like to fill my mind with what she is like. I don't need to go and look elsewhere. My wife satisfies me, and I think about her beauty and her glory. Of good repute, is it fair speaking? Wow. There are a lot of people whose language turns the air all shades of blue. There are some people in high school that Matthew soon will have a greater vocabulary than some people in high school. Some people in high school have like three words, and I'm not going to tell you what they are because you can pretty much imagine. But if our speech is like that, then we're not really reflecting the glory of God. And then it finally says, anything excellent and worthy of praise. This is a summary category of anything that has moral excellence, motivates us to godly behavior, or encourages others to walk with God. Rianne, I need you up here for a moment. No, you don't. But everyone here can have a donut. I can't guarantee that they're free of calories and they look like they're coated with sugar, but if you're able to eat one, you can have a donut. If you'd like to have a donut, go ahead. I mean a Timbit. I bought enough for everybody. No, Nick. Only take... Don't lick them. I made the statement, you are what you eat. Let me ask you, if your diet was Tim Hortons, if you have 4 donuts, or okay, you're a healthy eater, you have 4 bagels. And then at break time, you have some healthy food, a fruit explosion muffin, and then for lunch you have you have a chocolate covered donut and you have a maple cream filled donut. After about 4 weeks of this diet of lots of soda, lots of pop and chips, what happens to you? You are okay. You're starting to feel a bit ill. Yeah, you look like the donut. Would you really say, in all reality, if that's what your diet consisted of donuts and high sugar and lots of pop, that for most people, you'll become much bigger people? What was that, Loy? You said that the way we eat affects our health?
No kidding.
How many agree with the fact that what you eat affects your life? I mean, some of you had donuts. Some of you are going to be like wired. I'm going to have some donuts because I'm not have enough energy right now. You go, right. You need a... The thing I'm saying is, if you take and you fill your diet with these sweet little Timbits, even as small and as tiny as this little one right here, if you consistently ate small donuts, you're going to be get fat.
I heard somebody say a while back, if you have 1 Hershey Kiss a day, you'll be gaining 10 pounds.
Wow. What we put into our bodies, just what Loy said, if you had like all of this sugar, if you had all this sugar, you're going to become a diabetic. You're going to become obese. You're going to become fat. Now that's spelled F-A-T, not P-H-A-T. Okay? The F-A-T is not good. The P-H-A-T is good. Okay, just so we were all on the same. So if somebody says, man, you're like fat. Sick, dude. Well, that's like red. So you are what you eat. It's the same thing. What you put into your minds is going to affect your thinking. And if your constant diet is filled from what you get off the billboards and out of magazine articles and out of the advertisements and on TV and stuff like that, if that's your constant filling of your mind, then you're going to begin to act out those thoughts. And most of those thoughts lead us away from God. Most of those thoughts that the world projects is saying, this is what you need to think about, and this is what you need to fill your mind with, most of those thoughts take us down the garden path, and it's a very slippery slope. John Stott said these words. It says, sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says these words. It says, to renew our minds, renew our thinking. Don't be conformed to the world, but be what? Be transformed by how? By renewing your mind. In other words, let's get rid of the stinking thinking and let's put some pure thoughts into our mind. Don't be conformed, squashed into the mold, but be transformed, made anew by the renewing of your mind so that you know what the perfect and good and acceptable will of God is. Sources of great thoughts. And I need to say that thinking great thoughts just doesn't happen. Thinking great thoughts is a deliberate, intentional process of informing our minds with the truth. Number one, if you want to have pure thinking instead of stinking thinking, you need to start with the scriptures. And it's more than just a reading program. Yes, I praise God for the monthly calendar we put out to you or the yearly programmer that we give to you. It has a reading program. And if you read through that, you get through the Bible. But it needs to be more than just the reading program of, oh, I got to read, close your book up. It needs to be absorbing and allowing the truth of God to sink into our hearts. We need to soak in God's word. We need to reflect upon it. We need to meditate in it. The verse says, may the thoughts of my heart and the meditations of my, help me out here, I just lost it. Be acceptable in your sight, oh God. So, first of all, if you want to have the source of great thoughts, if you want to be thinking about great thoughts, start to read God's Word. Fill your mind with God's Word. Secondly, you need to dwell on great truth. To dwell on it. Gerald, when you were a farmer, how many cows did you have? Approximately. So you would understand what ruminate means, right? It's kind of a gross process what a cow does. Mows your lawn, lays down, heartburn. Brings it up and chaws on that grass that he chewed. That process makes milk. How you can ever get green grass into white milk, I don't know, but that's the process. Swallows her again. I told you the process was a little bit gross, but it's called ruminate. And it really means to meditate on this. He's meditating on the grass. That was good. A little bit of clover. Dandelion. Says, let the meditation of our heart. And you know what? Sometimes we think, oh, we shouldn't meditate. Meditate is like sitting in the with your legs crossed in a yoga position going, And we go, oh, we got to stay away from meditation. That's the counterfeit and the deception that Satan has caused to walk into the church so that Christians don't meditate. Because meditation was given to us by God. Meditation is to dwell upon, to think about great truths, to allow those great truths to be in our hearts, to think them over and over and over again. I want to tell you, if God has given you a promise, you need to dwell on that promise. You need to meditate. Now, some people go, oh, well, I can't meditate. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever worried once? Not once. Worry is simply a negative form of meditation. Oh, the bill came in today. Oh, I don't have enough money in the bank. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, I can't answer the phone. It might be the bill collector. And you worry. You're just meditating on negative emotions. And so if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Oh, a bill arrived today. God, your word says that you will supply all of my needs. God, you are the provision in the past. God, your name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And you see, the more you begin to meditate upon the goodness of God, the more you dwell on His promises, the more you have good thoughts. I want to tell you that God gave me a promise. When Nick and Rhiann announced their wedding. And I'm not trying to collect any money, but if you'd like to, that's... But you can quite well imagine how much a wedding is going to cost, and this one is coming in relatively cheaply. Okay, when I say relatively cheaply...
Inexpensively.
Inexpensively. For... We are far below the average cost of the national wedding in America is $29,000 for a wedding. I want to tell you that we are far below that. But I didn't have the far below, and I'm not going to tell you the figure that we. But I didn't have that. But you know what? God laid a promise upon my heart. He said, "I am going to supply for Rhiann as I supplied for Anya and Charity in their weddings." Has it come in real quickly? No. But I've had to stand upon the promise and said, God, I'm dwelling upon your word, and you are the Jehovah Jireh. You met me in the past, you're going to meet me in the future. If you meet me in the future, you're going to meet me in the present. And so we need to dwell on these thoughts. In Chip Ingram's book, he makes this comment. He said, my mind, in page 22 and 23, he says, my mind is inevitably going to be filled with something. Why not let it be filled with prayer? Your mind is inevitably going to be filled with something, good or bad. But he said, if it's going to be filled with something, why not fill it with prayer? All you have to do is start to take God's word and open up, and you begin to read the prayers of God's people. How they cried out to God and God met their needs. How they cried out to God and God delivered them out of the hole. How they cried out to God and God saved them. And you're going, wow. You know what you're doing? You're ruminating. You're going, no, that was heartburn. You're going, you are meditating. You're dwelling on God's word. And so the second thing of our source of great thoughts is dwelling on great truths. Jim Elliot said these words. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliot was one of the five missionaries that flew down in 1950 to try and minister the gospel to the Aka Indians in South America, and they were massacred and killed. But he made that statement. And that's a good statement to dwell upon. Not only do you let you... You think about God's word and meditate on God's word, but you dwell on great truths. That's a great truth. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. For those of you who have walked through AA, they use the prayer of Francis of Assisi. Other great thoughts. Can anybody think of a great thought or a statement that someone has said that's kind of been your guiding light? Kelly.
In the last 3 weeks, during worship, I wrote this thing: God never loses focus.
God never loses focus. Do you know who said that? Okay. Pastor. Anybody else? A great thought that you can dwell on. It may not necessarily be written in the Bible, but you're going, you know what? This is a guide light for me. Fran. I said something great? Thank you. And what was it again? I gotta go write that down. I gotta maybe publish it.
Hold up that shield.
Hold up the shield. Eva.
Your opinion of me is none of my business. I'm not here to address my
opinion. Your opinion of me
is none of my business.
Okay. Right? Anybody else have a... George.
You have a hope in the future.
You have a hope in the future. Again, quoting it right back from the Word of God, but that's a promise, that's a guiding light. Colin. You can't control the weather, but you can set... No, you can't control the wind, but you can set your sails. Martin Luther said, he says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your hair, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair. It's a good thought. Teresa. Well, there's a good one. Gerald, you didn't know he'd be on national TV today, did you? Dwell on great truths. Third one, where you can have the source of great thoughts is take the time to notice beauty. Take the time to notice beauty. I don't think it's really referring to guys stand with binoculars and watch beautiful ladies go by. But he does mean that you need to take so you feel a little bit small. Or maybe on the other side of it, you feel really, really important and you step outside and you take a look at the stars and go, wow. 93 million miles away is the sun. It takes the sun 7.5 light minutes to get the light from there to the earth. The closest star after that is 4.5 light years away. That's the star that we can see. Surely. A number of years ago when we were in Prince Edward Island, we were going across to Cape Breton, and we stayed with a doctor, and we were stayed at his condominium, was just at the base of Cape Breton Trail. And he said to me, he says, Joel, he says, you want to go look at some stars? Cool. So we went out there, and there was no street lights, and so there was no light pollution. It took our eyes about 15 minutes, and it was an absolutely perfectly clear night. And he says, Joel, have you ever seen Andromeda? Andromeda is the only galaxy that you can see with your naked eye in our system. And he pointed at the northern sky, and there was like this little, looked like a cotton ball. And he said, that's Andromeda. And he says, that's another galaxy. And God says that as big as this galaxy is, as big as our universe that we think it is, we are just one of billions that God knows every name. And then he says, what is man that are mindful of him? That the Son of Man would come and visit him. I mean, God has no respecter of finances, because he'll paint the water with diamonds. All you have to do is watch the water on a very, very clear day, the sun dancing off the waves, and it's more sparkly than diamonds. Take time to notice beauty. Think about how big God is. Think about the vastness and the complexity of creation.
Thank you.
So we need to take time for beauty and finally meditate on spiritual insights. Again, I talked about this earlier, meditating on spiritual insights. And as we fill our minds with good thoughts, then out of our thoughts, we behave. God wants you to be so full of these good thoughts that that's what our thinking is all about. If you want to be a great Christian, and whatever that means and however you define that, if you want to be a great Christian, then the first thing you need to do is you need to think great thoughts. Any question or comment about part one of this session? Aren't you glad I'm going to say we're going to have a break and going to come back for another hour, part two? I wouldn't do that to you. In a week. Now that's a great thought. Fellowship. Any other question or comment? Just kind of what we touched on, maybe. I do want to make comment. I didn't make it mention of it. What God had laid upon my heart, that the last Sunday of each month is going to be a kids' service. Doesn't mean you stay home saying, oh, it's just for the kids. I want you to come, bring the kids with you, and we're going to have a bang-out time and laugh and do all kinds of crazy stories about what God means in our life. And who knows, maybe you'll see me really being Pentecostal and swinging from the rafters. Those who've seen me do that go, yeah, we know that's for sure. But it's going to be a time of outreach. And so I'm encouraging you to bring kids out on the last Sunday of the month. And it's going to be like just a bang-out time where the glory of God's going to fall.
And their parents are welcome.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Parents, by all means, by all means. So fill your cars up. Let's just close in prayer then. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share in your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that we would start to have great thoughts. We would take them from the scriptures and we would take them from spiritual insight and we would meditate upon them, Lord. And Lord, I pray that even as we looked at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that we would focus our mind as a laser on these truths so that our behavior and the fruitful consequences that would flow out of our behavior will affect our destiny. And God, I thank you for these people today. I thank you, first of all, that they had a thought. You implanted that thought through the Holy Spirit that they needed to serve you with all of their hearts, with all of their souls, with all of their might. I thank you, God, that they enacted upon that thought. And they came to you at a time of crisis or in their life, and they cried out to you and they said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And now we see the fruit of your Holy Spirit being acted out and played out constantly in their lives. So, Lord, I pray that you would just bless today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for causing your truth to be enlarged in our lives. And in Jesus' name, amen. God bless.